Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13@greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook.com/Radio Detectives. Today's program is brought to you in part by the financial support of our listeners. And I want to thank a listener in Long Beach, California, who sent me a donation to our P.O. Box, Adam Graham P.O. Box, 15913 Boise, Idaho, 83715. You can also send a one-time donation through PayPal at support.greatdetectives.net or through the Zelle app to box13@greatdetectives.net. Or you can become one of our ongoing Patreon supporters for as little as $2 per month. Just go to patreon.greatdetectives.net. Well, now it's time for today's episode of Rocky Jordan. The original air date, July the 23rd, 1950, and the title is Cairo Tour.
Now, Del Monte Foods brings you a world of adventure with Rocky Jordan.
Call it a fixation, the way a lonely American in a city like Cairo haunts the railroad station or the airport, just to feel he's a little closer to home. This time I was at the Nile docks. It's always a great show, the pageantry, gay colors, honking taxis swarming the curb of the Nile Drive. 10 dragomen and 12 beggars for every tourist. But it seemed like a picture that I wasn't a part of, till suddenly a girl ran out of the crowd toward me.
Darling! Oh, darling, it's been so long.
She was blonde, American, and beautiful, but her eyes were sheer panic as she threw her arms around my neck and the kiss was square in my lips.
I knew you'd be here to meet me, darling.
Have another look, lady. You might have the wrong man.
No, wait. Hold me for just a moment.
It was a pleasure, but what happens when the right fella shows up?
Please, just hold.
So I did. Her arms clung tightly to me, her head hidden on my shoulder. My eyes scouted the people around us. Then I saw Captain Sam Sabaya with a couple of his men standing on the curb, watching the crowd come down the gangplank of the steamer. Then, as fast as she'd come, the arm slipped from my neck and the strange girl was gone, swallowed up in the crowd.
Del Monte, the brand you trust for flavor in so many good foods. Yes, Del Monte, the best-liked brand of canned fruits and vegetables in the whole wide world, takes you now to the Cafe Tambourine in Cairo, gateway to the ancient East, where modern adventure and intrigue unfold against a backdrop of antiquity. Tonight's Rocky Jordan story,
Cairo Tour.
It wasn't something I could complain about, a pretty blonde coming out of the crowd at the Nile docks and kissing me like a long-lost friend, even though I'd never seen her before. And there was something, maybe the perfume of her hair held close to my face, that brought back memories, the kind I'd tried too long to forget. She was still in my mind back at the tambourine later that afternoon as I watched the evening trade come in. Up toward the front sat a bunch of tourists, about 20 of them, out to see the sights of the native quarter and the tambourine. I was back at the counter when Chris, my bartender, came over.
Hey, Rocky.
Yeah, Chris?
There's a woman back in your office waiting to see her.
Oh?
Take it easy, brother. I don't envy what you got coming.
Well, what have I got coming?
You better ask her, Rocky.
Something in Chris's look moved me to the office in a hurry. If I'd hoped it was the pretty blonde again, I had a disappointment. This one was tall and rigid, and she didn't stop pacing the floor.
Mr. Jordan, I am Hilda Cartwright of the Happy World Tourist Agency.
This a personal visit, Mrs. Cartwright?
Miss Cartwright, and I demand to know the meaning of this. I demand to know, do you hear, Mr. Jordan?
Maybe you could make more sense sitting down, Miss Cartwright.
Very well. Now, I conduct a travel tour from the States. I brought 20 tourists here to your cafe this evening, as I do every year. Your tambourine has a certain reputation.
Okay, okay, so you brought them slumming.
Call it what you like. They spend their money here, and what thanks do I get?
What do you want, 10%?
Enough of this, Mr. Jordan. Experience has been a great teacher for me. I know what happens to some girls away from home with preconceived ideas about desert excitement and romance.
This is getting too good.
The point is, Mr. Jordan, that one of my clients is missing. She took one look at you when you came in, ran out the tambourine door, got in a taxi, and was gone. She's been acting strangely all day.
Look, Miss Cartwright, it's the rush hour. If you leave the name and address, I'll let you know what turns up.
See that you do. My client is Marcia Palmer of Cincinnati. We're at Shepherd's Hotel. I'm personally responsible for my charges, and I intend...
All right, describe the girl if you want to.
Well, she's blonde and pretty. Very pretty. Mr. Jordan.
Yeah?
This girl is a very beautiful young lady, and something tells me you not only have seen her, but you're lying to me.
Now, how'd you figure that out?
For one thing, Mr. Jordan, you should be more careful with the lipstick on your collar.
With that blast, Hilda Cartwright scooted out into the cafe, took the 19-odd tourists under her wing like a mother hen, clucked them to the street, and was gone. It was a good guess. I had seen Marcia Palmer before, where she'd kissed me without saying why and left some of the lipstick. Just what she was hooking me into was worth finding out. I went out to the street checking the taxi drivers who had stations near the tambourine. All the native drivers were anxious for money but couldn't tell me anything. Around 8 o'clock, another taxi drew up under a streetlight half a block down. Black body, white fenders. When I got to it, I saw the driver was an American. Somebody I hadn't seen around before.
Hop in, bub.
Oh, I'm not sure I'm going anywhere.
And save the space for the customers.
Well, there's none around. How is business?
So-so. How's yours?
Oh, booming. Big flock of tourists in the cafe.
Then why don't you go back and wait on them?
One of them, a girl, took a taxi from in front of the tambourine a couple hours ago. Maybe it was yours, huh?
Who knows? I don't turn down tourists.
She's blonde, pretty, a little scared.
Some blondes look out for themselves.
All I want to know is where she is, and double the fare if you'll take me to her.
Get your foot off the running board.
$5 American, if that interests you more. Her name's Marcia Palmer. I gotta find her.
I said get your foot off the running board.
He had the car in gear, and before I could get inside, the cab shot out from the curb, and the open door spun me to the sidewalk, rolling. Before I was back on my feet, it had skidded around the corner. I'd thought the cabbie knew something, and now I was sure. Well, what Marcia was caught up in was none of my concern. But I kept remembering the fear I'd seen in her eyes. Maybe that's what sent me to Shepherd's. For more explanation from Hilda Cartwright, I spotted her in the lobby with a group of her clients. I'd like a word with you, Miss Cartwright.
Oh, Mr. Jordan, of course. If you'll pardon me.
Oh, but wait! Isn't this the man who runs that cafe tambourine? You should introduce us.
Why, Mrs. Walker, Mr. Walker, Mr. Jordan.
How do you do?
How do you do?
And Mr. Wade.
Hi, Mr. Wade.
Pleasure, Mr. Jordan. A genuine pleasure.
Mr. Jordan, I must tell you how much I love your quaint cafe. It's utterly charming.
Thanks, Miss Walker.
But you can't fool me, you sly boy. Just why are you in such a place as Cairo? Secret service?
Well, not all secret.
Now the others are waiting in the lounge. Toodaloo, Mr. Jordan. Do join us soon, Mr. Wade.
Indeed I will, Mrs. Walker. Well, Mr. Jordan, I've heard a good deal about you. For an American, you seem to have established yourself quite well in Cairo.
Oh, with some people.
Now, if you'll excuse me.
No, Mr. Wade, I'm so sorry your wife isn't feeling well, but perhaps it was best for her to remain in the boat.
Too much travel for her, perhaps. Oh, and Miss Cartwright, if I can help in any way in locating Miss Palmer, let me know.
We will see, Mr. Wade. Married to a woman twice his age and concerning himself about Marcia Palmer.
How about Marcia Palmer? She still hasn't been found?
She has not.
Have you got any idea where she'd have gone?
I would hardly have come to you had I known that. And by the way, why the sudden interest? You didn't show it at your cafe.
Just wondering. Look, had Marcia said anything that might explain her actions?
Well, highly impressionable girl on vacation from an office desk in a strange, exotic country.
What'd she tell you?
She got me off to the side this afternoon and said someone was trying to kill her. Naturally, she didn't know who or why. I told her it was silly. Stop imagining things. Stay with the party and she'd be quite safe.
I suppose somebody was trying to kill her.
Oh, Mr. Jordan, I wasn't born yesterday. I think she was covering up for something quite different.
What'd she say when she left you at my cafe?
Oh, something about a headache, that she hadn't slept well the night before. I said we'd all come back to the hotel, but suddenly she turned white and went running out.
That's the last you saw of her?
It is. I phoned the hotel later and she hadn't returned. That's when I went to you.
I still don't know why me.
I told you, Mr. Jordan. Something Marcia saw in the tambourine made her run away. And I think it was you.
We said goodbye. I didn't want to go over all that again. Well, the thought of a pretty American girl lost in Cairo wouldn't help my sleep, so I started out looking. My one lead was an American driving a black cab with white fenders. It turned out to be one of a small fleet operated around the native quarters. A beggar near the tambourine told me he'd seen such a cab turn toward the Muski sector. I drove my car that way and for an hour toured the dark, winding streets of the Muski. Another beggar's tip sent me down the Sharia Ghoutan. Finally, I spotted a parked cab that looked familiar. I parked around the corner and walked carefully back, every step echoing against the overhanging walls. There was a man behind the wheel, and this time the cab's motor wasn't running. I moved up quietly on the driver's side. Sure enough, the driver was the same, the American. I want to talk to you, hear me? Come on, wake up, wake up. I pushed on his shoulder, and his body slumped hard across the wheel. The horn opened up, splitting the Cairo night like a keen-edged knife. But the driver didn't move. He never would again.
Del Monte Foods is presenting tonight's adventure with Rocky Jordan. Here now is Larry Thor. Here now is Larry Thor.
And here's the perennial summer question. What's the tallest, coolest thirst quencher you can think of? And here is the perfect all-round answer, straight from the tropics. It's sparkling, refreshing Del Monte pineapple juice.
All around thirst quencher is right, Larry. For instance, I can't think of any other juice that goes so well with so many different foods.
Well, that's because Del Monte pineapples are picked right when natural tartness and sweetness are in perfect balance. Exclusive Del Monte strains of pineapples, too. Talk about tempting refreshment. Take a sip of this richly satisfying flavor. Then go ahead and drink to your thirst's content. Del Monte pineapple juice is healthful. Its sweetness comes from natural fruit sugars, and it's a good source of vitamin C besides.
When you come right down to it, Del Monte pineapple juice is really an ideal drink for the whole family, any time of day.
Enjoy it soon, friends, and get acquainted with all those other delicious Del Monte juices, too. There's orange, grapefruit, orange and grapefruit blend, prune, and your old friend Del Monte tomato juice. Look for them at your grocer's tomorrow.
Now we take you back to Cairo and tonight's Rocky Jordan story, Cairo Tour.
My sense got at a door-by-door check of the building, with no luck till I hit the third floor. There was a crack of light under one of the doors. My first knock didn't get an answer, so I tried again.
Who is it?
We can talk better inside.
No, no, please, I can't let you.
No kiss for me this time, Marcia? What's happened between us?
Oh, it's you again. I don't understand.
A lot of us don't, Marcia. You and I were real romantic down at the Nile, but when you saw me on my tambourine, you beat it. Why?
Well, it was seeing you so soon again. I was embarrassed. I was so upset.
I belong at the tambourine. I run the place. Rocky Jordan's in there.
Oh, I see. Mr. Jordan.
Hilda Cordwright got the idea I should know why you took the run out. Why was it? You told Hilda somebody was trying to kill you.
I'm sure of it. She wouldn't believe me, but I know somebody tried.
And that sent you right into my arms, huh?
We had just come off the boat this afternoon. I got separated from the party and was standing in the crowds at the curb, waiting for a taxi when someone tried to push me in front of a car.
Could be mistaken.
Oh, no, I'm certain. I twisted away and ran. And then I saw you standing there, an American. I took refuge with you for a moment. I was frantic. I'm so sorry.
You don't have to be sorry about that. But who in Cairo would want to kill you?
Mr. Jordan, I don't know. There's no possible reason.
Marcia, about a taxi driver, an American. I think he picked you up after you left the tambourine.
How did you know about him?
Just tell me who he is.
I've never seen him before. But he saw that I was frightened. I told him somebody was trying to kill me. He's from Ohio, the same as I. So he just wanted to help, that's all. He found me this room where I could hide safely until I could decide what to do.
What else do you know about him now?
What do you mean, Mr. Jordan?
You don't know that he's still in his taxi down on the street? That he's dead?
Oh, no. But why? What does it mean?
Somebody thought he was helping you too much, maybe.
And just because he wanted to help me, he's dead. Mr. Jordan, what's going on? What is it?
You sure you don't know?
I swear I don't. But it proves I was right. Somebody did try to kill me.
Well, the police will have to know about the driver.
Yes, they will. You like to tell them about my being here?
Oh, not necessarily. I don't think you killed him. But whoever did might be the one who's trying for you. Just sit tight here till you hear from me. I made it to a payphone, and a call to headquarters brought Captain Sam Sabaya and his men. While they took care of the driver, Sam asked a lot of questions. Then a little later in his office at headquarters, where he kept looking through his files, he asked some more.
Again, Jordan, about your strange encounter with Marsha Palmer in the Nile. It was shortly after the boat had docked this afternoon.
I think so, Sam. Hilda Cartwright, the leader of the tourist party, says Marsha had the idea somebody was trying to kill her.
Yet Miss Cartwright did not come to the police about Miss Palmer's disappearance.
Miss Cartwright didn't believe any of it. They want the police left out. Makes bad publicity back home.
You Americans and your publicity. Now, Jordan, about the present whereabouts of Marsha Palmer.
Look, about the cab driver, Sam. Did he have a police record? Was he involved in any crimes?
No, not since coming to Cairo.
Is that his file there, Sam?
No, Jordan. This is a file on a woman. And before you consider any notion of aiding a woman in distress, you might first consider these facts.
Something new?
Unfortunately, the facts are not complete. There is no description. But this much we know through international police work, that a criminal was to arrive by boat from America today. One intent on an illegal oil manipulation with a fortune in American money.
Big oil stuff, huh? Just what's that got to do with a missing secretary from Cincinnati?
Jordan, it may interest you to know that the money behind this oil scheme is from a woman. Does it occur to you who this woman might be? The one who has disappeared, perhaps?
Sam turned to put the file folder away, and I told him good night. Outside, I tried to walk it off along the Sharia Mosque, wondering if I'd been wrong again. Wondering how I really felt about Marsha. Then matching footsteps half a block back told me I was being followed. So somebody had me marked, too. I started to duck for an alley. And that's what saved me. The shots hit the wall where I'd been a second before. I held it till I heard footsteps running the other way. As I got out into the street, the figure was already swallowed up in the darkness. It dawned on me then, if the killer could tail me so well, he might have found Marsha. I got back to my car and drove fast back into Muskie's sector to where Marsha was staying. A knock at her door, didn't get an answer. I smashed the lock and went in. The room was empty. Well, all I could do was drive back to the tambourine, and I made it quick. Chris had closed up for the night. I parked and decided to go in the front way. Marsha!
Rocky! Oh, Rocky!
Well, you're back to your first routine, Marsha. I'd like that better.
So do I.
Come on inside. I just came from your hotel. Why didn't you stay there?
Oh, I just couldn't, Rocky. I was too frightened there alone. I knew if somebody could find that poor taxi driver, they could find me. So I slipped out the back way and came here.
You know, you got to get a hold of yourself.
I know. But it's been such a terrible trip. I wasn't well on the boat. I must have sleep. It's driving me insane. I haven't slept in 2 nights.
Why not?
Well, the people in the stateroom next to mine quarreled all night. I couldn't hear what they said, but it was loud enough to keep me awake. Now I guess I'm too keyed up.
You've got to forget all that's happening for a little while, Marsha.
I wish I could. But how can I, Rocky?
You always find quiet in the desert. I'll take you there. We got in my car and drove through the Cairo streets, across the high bridge of the Nile, through Giza, then slowly out onto the desert. There we parked and watched the full moon come up that washed the pyramids and turned the sand gleaming white. We talked about everything but murder. Marsha was beginning to forget.
St. Louis. I've been there once or twice, Rocky.
Yeah, it's not a town a fellow forgets.
No. But you haven't been back for so long. Why not?
Oh, people sort of grow away from places.
Oh, I'm sorry. If you don't want to talk about it, that's all right.
Cincinnati might be more interesting for you.
It seems such a long way off. Rocky.
Hmm?
What did the police say about what happened to the taxi driver?
Uh-uh. You're not going to think about that. Not tonight.
All right, Rocky. Not tonight.
We talked on and on, but even a night like that had to end. I found Marcia a hotel in Giza where I knew she'd be safe and get some sleep. We made a date for a late breakfast, then I went back to the Tamarind. First thing the next morning, I dropped in at Shepherd's Hotel. My friend Archie was back at the desk.
Well, well, Rocky, old boy. Out a bit early, eh?
Yeah, sort of, Archie. Is Miss Hildecourt right in?
Oh, I say. You are playing the field, aren't you?
Just tell me about Hilda.
Sorry. She and her party checked out early this morning.
All of them, Archie?
Hmm. Well, Miss Marcia Palmer's still registered here. Also a Mr. and Mrs. Wade.
Oh, thanks very much, Archie.
Yeah?
Police headquarters, Sabaya speaking.
Hi, Sam, it's Rocky.
Good morning, Jordan.
Listen, do you have anything more on the death of that cab driver?
Only one thing. A woman's purse was found between the cushions in the back of his cab.
You know whose purse it is?
Indeed we do, Jordan. The name in it is Marcia Palmer, and I have put out a general alarm for her.
I knew it was only a matter of time before Sam found Marcia now, unless I found the answer to the threat on her life first. I stood in the lobby of Shepherd's thinking about the scene there the night before. Hilda Courtwright and her party. Mr. Wade, whose wife was ill and had remained on the boat. Then it hit me full blast. 10 minutes later, I was at the Nile docks boarding the ship that had brought the tourist party to Cairo. The purser made it just hard enough.
I am sorry, Miss Marcia Palmer is with her party. She will not return to the boat until this evening.
Oh, well, I'll be back later. So what's her cabin number?
Cabin 201.
And the cabin occupied by Mr. and Mrs. Wade, more friends of mine.
Cabin 202.
Oh, right next to Marcia's, huh?
How did you guess?
That was enough to get me moving, not off the ship, but down below. Some good American money was enough to convince the cabin boy he should unlock the door for me to the Wade cabin. Once inside, I snapped on the lights and looked around. The usual suitcases, large steamer trunk. I noticed the man's clothes were mostly gone, but the woman's were all there. I kept searching the cabin, always coming back to that trunk. Finally, I knew what I had to do. It took a couple of minutes to crack the lock in the trunk, and I had it open. There, wedged inside, was the body of a woman. Surely that of Mrs. Wade.
So it's you, Mr. Jordan. What are you doing here?
Just paying my respects to your wife, Mr. Wade.
How did you know?
I didn't. You know, you'll have trouble getting rid of that.
But not of you. The report of this gun will be heard all over the ship. And I'll get nothing but praise for killing an intruder.
In just a moment, Rocky Jordan returns to conclude tonight's story.
I've noticed most every woman has her own way of telling which are the best ears of corn on the market. But that's something you don't have to worry about when you buy Del Monte Golden Whole Kernel Corn. Can after can, kernel after plump, golden kernel, it's the sweetest, tenderest corn you've ever tasted.
And that's mighty nice for me, Larry, because Del Monte corn is so quick and easy. Not only that, but it's thrifty, too.
Yes, one can of Del Monte vacuum-packed golden whole kernel corn serves 4 people, and serves them wonderfully. You see, Del Monte raises remarkably good corn from strains developed by Del Monte for Del Monte. It's grown for higher natural sugar content, for extra thin-skinned kernels, too. Surely you've never known sweeter sweet corn, and those kernels are tender as butter. If you prefer cream style, then don't, please don't miss Del Monte cream style corn. Smooth, thick, rich in kernels, it's immensely satisfying.
Both styles are great favorites with us, Larry, but that's only natural. They both have that same grand Del Monte flavor.
For summer corn at its finest and its easiest, friends, insist on Del Monte corn, whole kernel or cream style. It's well worth your while.
Back now to Rocky Jordan for the conclusion of tonight's story.
Wade forced me to close the trunk lid carefully over Mrs. Wade's lifeless body. Then I turned around and faced the muzzle of his gun. It quivered a little too much.
I don't like to kill, but when it's necessary, Jordan...
You're forgetting your real problem, Wade. Marcia Palmer.
Where is she?
Not too far off.
Oh, then you know. Where is she, then? What did she tell you, Jordan?
It wasn't Marcia who told it. About a big oil promotion all set up for you and Carol. Was your wife's money going to swing it, Wade?
You need never know.
Only I'll bet the crooked deal was all news to your wife. When she found out about it, a big quarrel started. When she threatened to queer everything by taking it to the police, you had to kill her. Then you were afraid Marcia had heard it all from the next cabin.
The walls are thin. I heard her sobbing.
Sure. So you stayed close to Marcia the next day. Tried to kill her by shoving her in front of a taxi. But she escaped that.
I'm asking you where she is now.
Later, you saw her get into that cab outside the Tambourine. You found the cab again before I did. The driver refused to tell you where Marcia was. You feared what Marcia might have told him, so you killed him, too.
Are you quite finished now?
Except for one thing. Your big mistake.
So?
Marcia Palmer didn't know anything. She didn't know you'd kill your wife at all.
You're trying to kid me, Jordan.
Ah, you kidded yourself. You and your guilt-gutted conscience.
Then how did you know?
How would anybody know, including the police? Suppose they're swarming this ship right now.
You're lying. You must be.
It was all I'd waited for, that second of uncertainty. Then my hand slapped the barrel of his gun, sending the shot wild. My other fist caught him flat in the mouth, snapping his head back as he went down. And all that was left was for Sam to come and take him away. I made it for breakfast with Marcia right on time. That afternoon, we did the native shops and bazaars. Later, I showed her the Citadel by moonlight. Finally, Marcia and I sat at a table in my Tambourine over coffee.
Rocky, my boat sails in the morning.
Yeah. Too bad you couldn't stay a while longer.
Yes. It's been wonderful. In spite of the unknown danger. In spite of the horrible tension.
Oh, Marcia, in Cairo, there's always the in spite of.
I don't quite understand.
A girl living in Cairo, around here, close to the native quarter, see too much of danger.
Is that the way a man asks a girl to stay? No, don't answer. You don't need to. And you won't be coming back to the States, I suppose.
No plans.
Well, here you are, Miss Palmer. Here you are indeed. I might have known.
Oh, yes, Miss Cartwright, here I am.
Well, the party's ready. Come now. We've had enough of this dilly-dallying.
Yes, Rocky. I suppose we have had enough of this.
Sure. Goodbye, Marcia.
Oh. Goodbye, Rocky.
Well, Jordan...
Oh, hello, Sam.
Miss Palmer is a most fortunate girl.
Yeah? Why?
Well, after all, it is not every girl who gets the benefit of your personal Cairo tour.
For superb flavor, for dependable quality, always enjoy Del Monte fruits and vegetables. Remember, buy wisely. Buy for flavor. Buy Del Monte. The brand you trust for flavor in so many good foods.
Rocky Jockey Jordan, written tonight by Gomer Cool from a story by William Frug, stars Jack Moyles in the title role with Jane Avello as Sam Sabaya, and is produced and directed by Cliff Howell, with original music composed and conducted by Richard Arant. Remember, you have a date next week at the Cafe Tambourine, run by Rocky Jordan. Same time, same station. And the story is The Money Changers.
Have you tried Del Monte Pineapple Chunks? They're different, they're delightful. Juicy, bite-sized pieces of superb tropic fruit, cooling and refreshing. Ask your grocer for Chunks. Del Monte Pineapple Chunks. Ask him tomorrow.
Bob Stevenson speaking. Rocky Jordan is presented over CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Welcome back. Well, they once again teased us with that question of why he is no longer in America. We did get a little bit of an answer to that with the episode that mentioned that he was in the OSS, so I think that was more of a hint than anything else. On the episode Interlude with Lorena, Stephen comments, Greco is back. You had a couple letters discussing his absence, and you didn't even comment on his return. I noticed they turned down his obnoxiousness a bit while still keeping his basic personality. The last time appeared, I think, was over the top when he insulted Rocky for saving his life. This is more classic Greco, rude but doing his job. Well, he did have one other appearance after that, but it was prior to the appearance that you mentioned in Interlude with Lorena, but it was a really brief, sort of forgettable appearance. And I think that was the same thing in Interlude. He was in, I believe, just one scene. So I don't know if he is less annoying or it's just the fact that the character has been reduced. But thank you so much for the comment, Stephen. I do want to thank our Patreon supporter of the day. Thank you so much to Dave. Dave has been one of our Patreon supporters since September 2017, currently supporting us at the Shamus level of $4 or more per month. Thanks so much for your support, Dave. And that will do it for now. Join us back here tomorrow for Boston Blackie. Next Tuesday, It's a Crime, Mr. Collins. And then next Wednesday, another episode of Rocky Jordan. In the meantime, send your comments to Box 13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/Radio Detectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.